You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
James, I was trying to remember when we were back in that series. It wasn't that long ago, but we keep dipping in and out of James. There's quite a thread that comes through James and Ephesians, through in Acts as well. And this series that we're actually looking at the moment, you can see it's called Repurpose. And we've been, one of the challenges that I looked at as part of Repurpose, trying to boil it back down into something you can go, oh, that's what it was about, Darren. It was this: we need to take responsibility back for our lives. Just think about that for a moment. We need to take responsibility back for our lives. And James, actually listening to some of what it says there a minute ago, is talking about taking responsibility back. To do this, we need to recognize, and going back to a previous message, that when we blame something, we empower it. So I don't know if you remember, but if we have to identify those situations, we might blame a certain thing, but actually when we blame that thing, it gives power and authority over us. It ensnares us. If we talk about poverty and you say, well, I'm just poor, we're just a poor family. Actually, what you've done, you've empowered money, and money dominates your life, and everything suddenly becomes about money. And actually, we've got to look at what these things are and recognize and go, actually, I'm blaming this thing, and this thing has authority over my life. It actually rules my life, and I need to be set free from that. I need to take responsibility back and say, actually, no, I'm going to take responsibility for this thing in my life, and that is not going to tell me where I'm going to go anymore. It sounds really simple, doesn't it? But it's tough. And part of what we're looking at with this series is to establish something that we set up last week called guardrails. Guardrails are there to help our lives be kept on in the safe zone. I introduced it last week. It's taken from a series, and I'm going to put it out there again in case any of you have managed to watch any of these or you want to go and look at it a little bit more. But Andy Stanley from his church in America, they've done this thing, guardrails, and they're absolutely fabulous. I don't know what you call those things in the middle. We kind of had a bit of a discussion last week, whether it's the central reservation, the crash barriers, whatever it says. Just so that you know, when I'm talking about guardrails, the picture you've got in your head is that thing that you can theoretically save you from going into the danger zone. The thing about the guardrails is, and next slide it will show you, they are in the safety zone. So actually, if you look at where the green bit is, there's the guardrail. It's in the safety zone. If you hit the guardrail, you're still in the safety zone. You haven't gone into the danger zone. And just that as a picture, just trying to understand what is a guardrail and what is its purpose. When you hit a guardrail, and if you've ever hit one of those, I think some people last week said, yes, I've seen the car that's hit one of those. It might not be pretty. The car might need to be repaired. But the chances are you walked away with your life, or that person walked away with their life. They certainly didn't go over the edge and into the danger zone, which is absolutely far worse. That is why the guardrails are there. Their aim is to direct and protect us. They are to direct us away from the areas of danger and to protect us from the areas of danger, whether that be cliff edges or whatever. Obviously, we're looking at this in a gospel context, a biblical context, and say, how does that apply to my life? Now, one of the first things we drew out last week was that for most of us, our greatest regrets could have been avoided if we had guardrails. Our greatest regrets could have been avoided if we had guardrails, something in place to stop us from going in a certain direction. We looked at it and said, in a nutshell, if we'd made wiser decisions back then, probably future regrets could have been avoided. Now, we also said as well, this is recapping last week, that modern culture doesn't like guardrails. We shouldn't tell people what to do, right or wrong. It's blurred lines, or what we said last time was painted lines, suggestions. Give me a suggestion. I'm grown up enough to know whether I should follow that or not. I don't need guardrails to keep me on the straight and narrow. And I've got a few examples that I looked at, just run you through again, which was the first one. What's painted on the road? Is that absolutely true? How many people here have gone over 30 in a 30 zone? Just Ray. Wow, Ray, we're going to have to pray for you. We'll pray for the others afterwards because they're all lying. So it's all right. At least you're honest. It's a painted line, isn't it? Does it really mean 30? Well, it's only a painted line, isn't it? I'll probably get away with it. Anyway, my speedo, 10% rule. I don't know what you do. But we can drive over it whatever speed we choose, can't we? It's not a guardrail. Is it an absolute? Ask a police officer. The other one we looked at last week, and again, I'm really quickly recapping these. Alcohol, the slogan given by the government or the government agency, is drink responsibility. It's a painted line thing. At what point does a responsible drinker recognise that they've gone past that point of being sensible anymore? What's the next one say? Keep your head or something. Isn't it? Keep your head, drink responsibly. Now, if you have an issue with alcohol, alcohol obviously takes you to a place where you don't make wise decisions the more you drink. So at what point do you kick in and go, oh, I'll drink responsibly. That's really good advice. You tell me. Painted line. I'm not demonising any of these things, just pointing out these lines. The other one we looked at, which made us giggle a little bit, sex. What advice do they give to teenagers in our schools? Wait until you are ready. That's what we say to our young teenagers. Wait until you are ready. And actually, the point was made, Andy Stanley said it was probably a woman that came up with that. And before you jump on him, it was because he said that might be good advice to young ladies. But if you say to a young man, wait until you are ready, the young man says, I was born ready. It's a painted line, isn't it? Painted lines. Should we be more black and white with what is expected? Particularly because as a Christian, you know if you make a mistake and you slip up, what will culture say to us, popular culture? Call yourself a Christian. That's not very Christian, is it? But actually, then you see, put these guardrails in place. You say, well, I'll put these things in my place so I won't do this and I won't do that, and this keeps me, and if I bash up against it, they go, oh, you're ever so religious. Oh, that's very strict. Oh, you need to let your hair down and live a bit, you know? So you get mocked whether you put these guardrails in, or you get mocked if you go over the edge. Establish guardrails. You might even get taken to court over some of the guardrails you put in your lives. If you decide to live a certain way and say to other people, I believe this is what the Bible says. We've seen it in the media recently, particularly as Christians that want to stand up for certain things. But how far is too far? I was thinking about Daniel when he was in exile. He was trained up in the culture of the day. He was trained up, given a good education within the captors, what the captors were teaching, what was their culture at the time. And he went along with that. But when they said, you've got to eat the royal food, what did he say? He said, no, that's too far. I'm not going to do that. Now, if you need to go back and read Daniel for yourself, have a look. But he refused to eat the royal food. He said, I'll go this far, but then I hit a guardrail. I'm not going any further than that. I refuse to eat the royal food. Guardrail for him kicked in at the food. That's where he said, no, I'm not going to defile my body. So I've got a couple of questions that we're going to unpack this week, and it's going to be looking around relationships, guardrails and relationships, and asking you, do you have any guardrails in your life? I know obviously you've had a week to think about it now if you came last week. What are the guardrails that you've put in your life? Or actually, as a result of last week, are you thinking, I might need to put some guardrails in my life? Or looking back, you said, actually, if I'd had that guardrail in my life, I wouldn't have this regret now. With guardrails, we finished up last week saying you might be mocked for some of these, but you will have less regrets. That's where we finished. So this week, we're going to focus on guardrails around our relationships and who we hang out with. Now, Andy Stanley asked this question in his sermon, and he said this, and it's a good starter. Have you ever met someone that later you wished you had never met? Have you ever met someone that later you wished you had never met? That's a starter for one, isn't it? And this developed further. Has your wife or your husband ever met someone you wish they had never met? And maybe bring it even closer to parents. Have your kids ever met somebody you wish they had never met? Usually, and this is the point of really the whole message this morning, usually the people we meet, our friends, those that we connect with, are the ones that we have our greatest regrets with. Your greatest regret. You probably weren't alone if you think back to your greatest regret. Maybe you got many. But were you alone when that regret kicked in? They normally involve people who are our friends or family and those close to us. Sometimes it might be an enemy, but generally it's those that are our friends. And our greatest regret could potentially have been avoided if we had guardrails in place. Do we really need guardrails with friends and family and work colleagues? See, one of the things that comes to mind instantly is that if we're not careful, we will be accused of being judgmental. And this is quite interesting. I mentioned this last week. There's a difference between being judgmental and having good judgment. And I just want to unpick this just for a moment, because otherwise we can, as Christians, be accused of being judgmental. We can say, this is what I believe the Bible says. This is what I've established in my life. And they go, oh, you're really judgmental, you are. Now, how do we turn that around? And I think this is really good advice this morning. So let's have a few moments just looking at the difference between being judgmental versus actually having good judgment. Now, judgmental, and if someone accuses you of being judgmental, is normally because they think you've formed an opinion about them and that you've set yourself up as a judge over their lives. That's why they're saying you should be, you're being judgmental. You're telling me what I should and what I should not do. And that's why you get accused of being judgmental. The thing about having good judgment is that good judgment is about me. And it's about me looking at my life, assessing the things, I don't remember last week, about the things of my past, the things I'm going through right now, and my hopes and dreams for the future. In the light of these, what is the wise thing to do for me? So in this situation, and you can pick the situation out in front of you, you could say, this is my guardrails. And someone says, oh, you're being judgmental, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. But what I am doing is I'm looking at me and I'm saying, in this situation, knowing what I'm like, knowing what's happened in the past, knowing where I want to go, the wise thing for me to do in this situation is this. Now, if you don't like that, I'm not judging you. But this is good judgment for me. This is what I need. If you remember back to wisdom last week, it's more than being just right or wrong. It's about me making the best decision based upon my weaknesses, the things that I might struggle with, the things that influence me. I know what affects me and I know where my weaknesses are. So I need wisdom, which is going to be different from your wisdom, in this situation. I'm not going to judge you for what you do, but I am going to exercise good judgment for me. And this, for me, involves setting up some guardrails in my life. I need those guardrails, because if I don't, I know what I'm like. Of course, in that situation, you could turn around to that person and say, you're not judging me, are you? You know, you're not being judgmental, are you? Because it's interesting when we set this up, we instantly get judged, don't we? Oh, now this is what the Bible says, and this is what I'm going to believe. This is what I'm going to follow. Oh, suddenly we get judged too. Andy Stanley has a saying that he says he internalizes this, but he shared it on the video, and he says, I can share it with you as well this morning. But in every situation he feels God is challenging him with, he says these words to himself, and he says he said it out loud a few times. When a situation arises, he says, I'm not emotionally mature enough to, there he is, I'm not emotionally mature enough to what? I'm not actually emotionally enough, mature enough to be your friend. It might be you can see that person is dangerous and you say, I'm sorry, but my guardrail says I'm not emotionally mature enough to be your friend. It might be in business, so I'm not emotionally mature enough to do business with you. I can see this isn't going to work out right, and I'm worried where this is going. I'm going to put it on me. You might be doing fine, but as far as I'm concerned in this situation, I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with this situation. As a family, you might find there are other things other families say, come and do this with me, and you kind of go, actually, and you might not say it out loud, but this is what he's saying. You might say inside, I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with that. This is going to take me to a place where I shouldn't go. I shouldn't continue that activity together anymore. And actually that switches that whole thing about being judgmental around from saying, I'm being judgmental and it's about me judging you, to saying, no, look, I take all of this on board. This is about me. It's good judgment. It's wise decisions about how I'm going to move forwards in this situation to what God's calling me to, because I know my future and what he's calling me into. Remember, as already mentioned, our biggest regrets are normally associated with people we know. And most of us here will be able to think of one or more people, I think I heard with a ripple earlier, wish they'd never met. Is that being judgmental? No, that's probably hindsight. And if I'd used better judgment back then, things would have turned out very different. And we asked last week, if you could live it over again, would you want to do it again? And would you do it differently? And a lot of us nod our heads and say, yeah, I would do those things differently. I know for some of us in the room, and we've got some prayer ministry coming up shortly, there are sometimes wounds and scars, things from the past that we carry around. And in spite of the fact for most of us, our parents or those caring for us were instructional about who we hung around with and said who you should or shouldn't play with, I'm sure there's many folk here who can remember their parents saying to them, you're not allowed to hang out with that person. How many people here had parents who said, you're not even going that place? Fortunately, my teenage daughters haven't come downstairs yet where I've gone, you're not going out with that on. Do you know what I mean? I don't remember my parents ever saying that to me, actually, either. But actually, just as parents, can you remember that person that led you astray and you started to sound like them? Maybe you started to dress like them. And when they started doing things you were not comfortable with, even though you weren't comfortable with it because you wanted to be part of the gang, you kind of went along with it and you agreed with it. Even though on the inside you might have been screaming out, no, I really don't want to be doing this. I want to go the opposite way. But actually, you wanted to fit in, so you went along with it. Was that your experience as a child? If our parents said anything to us, I don't know if anybody accused their parents of being too judgmental. Did you ever... Speaking to a congregation would never say anything back to their parents like that anyway. Is that right? Have you ever accused your parents of being judgmental? Have you ever accused them of being paranoid? Oh, you're paranoid, you. Everything I do, you're paranoid. Well, actually, it's quite interesting, and Andy makes an interesting point on this. He says, you know, you think your parents were paranoid, but for those that are parents in the room, you're probably paranoid-er, he put on the end. We know what we got up to as kids, and I don't want my kids getting up to things I got up to. I'm far more paranoid than my parents ever were about me. We don't want our kids, do we, going down the same paths that we went down. And remember again, I'm not talking about those places where there were bullies or whatever else. It's the places you went with your mates or your friends or those people that took you down the wrong path that you just went, actually, do you know what? That was the wrong way. And I was influenced to do bad or stupid things. Now, whether it's a good thing or not, in today's world, you can stalk almost anyone on social media. I know there's a few people in the room. If you're kids or friends or whatever, you can look people up on the internet now, can't you? You can check them out, find out what they're about, who their friends are, where they work, what their parents are. I know at least one person in the room that has certainly done that. Your son or your daughter is bringing somebody home. They don't need to tell you anything about it. You've already stalked them and you know everything about them already and you've got photographic evidence. Now, is that being judgmental? It's certainly being nosy, isn't it? But it's also about caring, and particularly for our kids. Remember who was there at our time of our greatest regrets? It was probably family or friends or work colleagues, and they determine still the quality of our lives. Now, one of the interesting things about relationships is that we want to find a place where we are accepted. Everybody wants to find a place where they're accepted. Whether it's part of our hardwiring of actually wanting to belong, but we seek out groups generally where there's like-minded people and we are accepted. And actually, it's in these places without guardrails, we tend to even use the phrase, don't we? I lower my guard when I'm around these people. I'd lower my guardrails around these people. Maybe the things that were very strict for me around certain people, the guard comes down, doesn't it? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does make us a little bit more vulnerable. And it's usually in the times when our guard is down that we get hurt because we didn't have the guardrails. Now, there is a lot of clever people out there. There is a neuroscientist from Northwestern University. His name's Moran Cerf. Has anyone come across Moran Cerf? I don't know. You're a learned lot, you guys. He's been at the Northwestern University, and he's been studying decision-making for over a decade. This is an article that was written about him. It says, his neuroscience research has found that when two people are in each other's companies, their brain waves will begin to look nearly identical. So you can imagine these people in a room wired up with all this stuff going on, and he said, oh, look, you two hanging out. Oh, your brain waves are starting to become in sync. He said this, or the article says, the more we study engagement, we see time and again that just being next to certain people actually aligns your brain with them. Based on their mannerisms, the smell of the room, the noise level, and many other factors, Cerf says. This means the people you hang out with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality beyond what you can explain. And one of the effects is you become alike. Now, it's quite interesting. I can spot two gentlemen sat next to each other, and I've watched them for a little while, and they keep folding their arms and putting their arms down. And every time they do that, the person next to them does it. Your brainwaves are aligned, guys, I tell you. It's very interesting. And if you've ever seen this, have you ever spoken to somebody where you stand there and then maybe you just cross your leg like this, and then the person in front of you, they cross their leg, and you stand your leg there. Look, you're doing it already, you see? Look, your brainwaves are aligned. And it's actual research. The more you hang out with folk, the more you start to become alike, become like them. I did notice it last week, actually, when I was doing this. I was speaking to people out back having coffee, and I did different things. I put my hand up quite high on the wall, and someone I was talking to did that. I then kind of squatted like this, and the person I was talking to did it. I went, it really works. People want to be alike. Your brainwaves start sinking. Now, it might seem like a trivial thing, but if we don't actually understand how we are wired and how we work, we can really easily slip into situations that we'd never have chosen for ourselves. And again, I'm going to keep coming back. What's your greatest, your biggest regret or your greatest regret? And actually, if you think about that, did it sort of happen without you consciously going out of your way to make it happen? Now, I don't know what that was for you. You might have had a beer. You might have been in a really jolly moment. It might have been in the heat of the moment. Suddenly, you're there and you were too close to that person and something happened, or whatever it might be. Suddenly, it's like the situation took over. Look at the book of Proverbs. There's a good proverb we're going to look in this morning. Proverbs 13:20, if you like highlighting bits in your Bible. It's on the screen as well. Solomon was obviously wise. He was a wise person. And this is what he says in Proverbs 13:20. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. Remember what we were saying last week about being careful where we step, literally, where we step? Something I was praying for all the men this week here at church. Solomon says, if we walk with the wise, it will naturally rub off on you, and you will become wise. Who we invest our time with, who we spend time with, who we hang out the most with, will probably become more like them. If they are wise people, you will become naturally more wise. It's just the way it rubs off. But the second half says something a little bit different. The second half says, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, going back to last week, it's not very nice to call somebody a fool. But what is a foolish person? A foolish person is someone who doesn't consider the past. They don't consider the future. They're living for the here and now. What do I get out of this moment right here, right now, regardless of anything else around me? The result of a fall is not that walk with the wise, you become wise, for a companion of fools becomes a fool. What does it say? For a companion of fools, hang out with fools, and you will suffer harm. Their actions, their lifestyle will lead to harm and even an early death. And the closer you are to them, the more likely you are to go their way. Saying I don't want to do what they do is actually not enough. Because our neuroscientist says if you hang out with somebody and you fold your arms or you scratch your nose or whatever it is, you do, your brainwaves start to become aligned and you say, well, actually, I won't do what they do. I'll be fine. I'll just go along. I won't do the stuff that they do. Well, actually, when you hang out with people, you start to become like them. And actually, I don't know about you, maybe it's a young lad thing, but actually you don't just want to become like them, you want to do one better. Watch me, see what I can do. And actually, you find yourself not only amongst these people, but also going the extra step and doing the extra silly thing. I was really struck with this, actually. I was thinking about some kids travelling in a car. How many times do we see kids travelling in a car? And actually, it was the driver that might have been drunk and he was being foolish and stupid and reckless. But who dies? It was those around them. It was those around the driver that normally take the brunt of it and they walk away. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools doesn't become a fool, they suffer harm. So, question, is being judgmental, to want to protect ourselves from such foolishness, is that being judgmental or is that having good judgment? If we want to protect ourselves from such foolishness, should we be judgmental or having good judgment? Andy says these words, I don't put them up on the screen, but think about these. You might catch some of these, so I'll put them all in. Friends who aren't careful with their lives, they won't be careful with your life. Friends who aren't careful with their marriages won't be careful with your marriage. Friends who aren't careful with their money, you can see where this is going, they're not going to be careful with your money either, are they? Friends who aren't careful with their health, are they going to be careful with your health? Friends who aren't careful with their reputation, they won't be careful with your reputation. Friends who don't care about faith, certainly not going to care about your faith. Friends who don't care about their future won't care about your future either. Friends who do wrong things feel so much better when we do wrong things as well. It's almost as if when you hang around certain people, you start to behave like them, even when we don't want to. It's interesting, isn't it? Is this neurosurgeon actually right? Or neuroscientists? Who do you hang around with? So drawing this to a close today, we need to understand the purpose of our life. And in order to fulfill our purpose, one of the things I'm saying we need this morning are friendship guardrails. So why are friendship guardrails so important? Because we need to apply wisdom to all of our circumstances. Remember we said already, wisdom isn't about right or wrong. It's more than being right or wrong. But sometimes we can engage with people and their opinion, maybe their clever words can influence and they can win arguments and discussions with us that as Christians we think, well, I know I'm right, but I lost the argument here. What happened? What happened? I just want to encourage you with this, and this is the closing thoughts this morning. Jesus was that perfect example, wasn't he, of wisdom manifests in the most incredible ways. I just love, the taxes one got me. I remember when the first time I picked a Bible up and they were trying to trick Jesus over the taxes. And they said, should you pay taxes or not? And then Jesus replies, well, whose head's on the coin? And I'm just like, oh, if I could have wisdom like that. I don't know why that jumped out at me. I just remember like going, that's wisdom. I knew they were trying to trap him when I was reading up to that bit. Well, whose head's on the coin? Well, give to Caesar what's Caesar and give to God what's God's. I thought, I want some of that wisdom. Wisdom is more than being right or wrong. It transcends, it goes beyond even being judgmental. So when the rulers and the Pharisees were constantly trying to trip Jesus up with their supposedly clever arguments against everything Jesus said, and when the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for them, Jesus speaks these words in Luke 7:35, and again, it's a really lovely bit. Sometimes goes missed quite a lot of Jesus' words, and I've probably pointed it out before. But Luke 7:35 is definitely one to remember and write it in your mind. Luke 7:35, Jesus talking, he says, "But wisdom is proved right by all her children." Wisdom is proved right by all her children. In other words, time will tell. Now, you might have had arguments with people or discussions with people, and actually you think, well, I know the Bible is right in this situation. I know God's right in this situation, but I lost the argument somewhere. What happened? You may win the argument with regards to anything said today, but ultimately, you can say to that person, you will lose your life. Wisdom will be proved right by her children. You might think you've got all the answers. You might think you've done one over on me. But wisdom will be proved right by her children. Time will tell. Don't win an argument and lose your life. That would be rubbish. There are many debates going around at the moment, hot topics. Terry touched on some of these a few weeks ago, and he says, actually, if we engage with some of these debates, we'll probably not come off well. We may well get criticized, told we're not culturally relevant. And if we chose to engage in some of these topics, then we could be shouted down. And we could even, in the public sphere, lose the argument. But Jesus says, wait. Wait and see what happens. James 14:15, which Jasmine was reading to us this morning. Again, great words here. James 14:15 says, "Each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." Think about that again. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. What are the fruits of fully grown sin? What are its children? Jesus says it is death. And I just want to be really clear on the message today. It's not about being judgmental. Remember that judgmental, being judgmental versus good judgment. In fact, this is completely the opposite. This is about love and about being in a secure place where you are secure and you can say with love to somebody, "I can help you in this situation. You are going to reap what you are going to sow." But I'm saying to you, if you can put some of these guardrails in your life and the things that the scriptures say, then this will work out good for you. Otherwise, you can come to church and you can be a Jekyll and Hyde character, can't you? We know what you're like in church. Look at that, you've got a nice suit, and very trim. But actually, as soon as you leave church, it's like, wait until next week, you know? What are you like when you leave church? Do you leave it all behind? You're one type of person in church. You're one type of person when you're in a ministry in church. But when you go to that other place with your friends or work colleagues, when you're left on your own in front of maybe your computer and the internet can show you whatever you want to see, that's when you become the other person. Earlier in James 1, his intro into that trials and temptations that Jasmine read, it encourages us to ask God for wisdom if we lack it. Ask God for wisdom if we lack it. But we need to be sure of who we are and what we are asking for. If we're unsure of who we are and what we're doing, then we're going to have that split personality. And James calls that a double-minded person. Don't be double-minded. Establish some guardrails. You don't want to be double-minded. And actually, James goes one step further, doesn't he? And are unstable in all that you do. Establishing guardrails with our friends might be costly for some of us. It might mean some things will have to change. Maybe some of the places we go, we might have to stop. Or it's just done in a different way. And rather than people influencing us, our brainwaves could influence them. We could say, actually, no, look, this is better. This is what God says. Establish this. This is better. I don't want to be influenced by you. And this might sound really harsh. And like I say, that's why I want to go back to the judgmental thing. This isn't a judgmental. This is you saying to somebody else, I'm not emotionally mature enough to deal with this situation. I need to put those guardrails up because I know what I'm like. And I know how I'm going to move myself forwards. Remember back to last week. Those words, it says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Literally, remember, be careful where you walk. Be careful what you are even treading in. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the fools. You don't become foolish. You will suffer the same harm as them, or worse. So just go for a moment, just looking at the consciousness of time, just take a moment just to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And if anything's come to your mind, and actually you need to say, Darren, I need to confess that this morning. I'd love to, even if you have to stay afterwards, and there's a queue, I don't care, to confess some things today and say, actually, I'm taking back responsibility of my life. That's where we started at the beginning of the message. I'm taking back responsibility of my life, and I'm going to say, I don't want those things in my life anymore, and I need to establish some guardrails. Now, that might be accountability. It might be accountability with your husband or your wife. It might be something that needs to change with your children. And actually, you don't want to be sat here this morning saying, I know exactly who this message is for. I wish they were here this morning. This would be fabulous for them. You know, maybe just sat there for yourself. So for a moment, what do you want God to help you with today? Our message is repurpose, or series is repurpose. What do you want to repurpose in your life and start afresh with him? Let's just quieten our minds for a moment. Maybe there's something you just need to confess to God this morning, and just for the benefit of new folk here, what do we say about confession? It's not about coming to be told off for something. It's about agreeing with God. Lord, that shouldn't be in my life anymore. You've told me that. You've spoken to me this morning, so I need to do something about it. That's confession. Lord, I confess. I agree with you. I need to sort that out in my life. And it may be this morning you just need to say sorry to God, or you need to say sorry to someone else. And you've got the authority this morning to take charge of that situation and say, that's not going to rule me anymore. Remember, the enemy is wicked. He will get hold of those things in our lives and keep squashing us down with it time and time again. And we need to say, no, I'm not going to let that be spoken over me this morning. What was your greatest regret? Who was that with? Does it still have power over you? Is it still something that you don't want anybody else to find out about? Do you go somewhere where you know you get that prickly feeling, I really shouldn't be here, and I hope nobody knows that I'm here? Then you need to confess to God and say, God, I need you to help me put some guardrails in my life that stops me from going down that path. I think I put it in the notice sheet, so you can take your notice sheet home. But someone said to me once, Darren, look, if you get tempted when you go down those paths, don't go down them. It's really simple. And actually, if you're tempted to go down that path, don't go down the path that leads to the path that you get tempted to go down. If it means going 10 miles out your way, then go 10 miles out your way because you don't want to go down that path. Are you prepared to do that this morning?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.